Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yate Gatinam Tishrinam Ishitu Paramam Padam Naravachino Visargasya Datar Veditum Arhati Yate Gatinam Tishrinam Ishituf Paramam Padam Naravachino Visargasya Dhatar Veditum Arhati Yate Gatinam Tisrinam Ishituf Paramam Padam Naravachino Visargasya Hatar Veditum Arhati. Yat, which, te, of your, gatinam, tisrinam, of the three destinations, the heavenly planets, the earthly planets, and hell, ishitu, who are the controller, paramam padam, the supreme abode, Vaikuntha Loka. That's the supreme abode, Vaikuntha Loka. Okay. Not. Aravachina. A person appearing after. Visargasya. The creation. Tata. O supreme controller. Veditum. To understand. Arhati is able. Translation. O Supreme Controller, you control the three destinations, promotion to the heavenly planets, birth as a human being, and condemnation in hell. Yet your supreme abode is Vaikuntha Tham. Since we appeared after you, appeared after you created this cosmic manifestation, your activities are impossible for us to understand. We therefore have nothing to offer you but our humble obeisances. It's supposed to start at 28. Yeah. Okay, Shri Sugata Goswami said, my dear king, When all the demigods offered him their prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, carrying his weapons, the conch shell, disc, and club, appeared first within their hearts and then before them. Surrounding and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, were 16 personal attendants, decorated with ornaments and appearing exactly like him, but without the mark of Srivatsa and the Kustuba jewel. O King, when all the demigods saw the Supreme Lord in that posture, smiling with eyes like the petals of lotuses grown in autumn, they were overwhelmed with happiness and immediately fell down like rods, offering dandavats. Then they slowly rose and pleased the Lord by offering him prayers. Purport. In Vaikuntha Loka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has four hands and decorations like the Srivatsa mark on his chest and the gem known as Kaustubha. These are special indications of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's personal attendants and other devotees in Vaikuntha have the same features, except for the Srivatsa mark and the Kaustubha gem. 31. The demigod said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are competent to give the results of sacrifice, and you are also the time factor that destroys all such results in due course. You are the one who releases the chakra to kill the demons. O Lord, who possesses many varieties of names, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. O Supreme Controller, you control the three destinations, promotion to the heavenly planets, birth as a human being, and condemnation in hell. Yet your supreme abode is Vaikuntha Dhamma. Since we appeared after you created this cosmic manifestation, your activities are impossible for us to understand. We there have nothing to offer you but our humble obeisances. Purport. An inexperienced man generally does not know what to beg from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under the jurisdiction of the created material world, and no one knows what benediction to ask when praying to the Supreme Lord. People generally pray to be promoted to the heavenly planets because they have no information of Vaikuntha Loka. Srila Madhvacharya quotes the following verse. Deva Lokat Pitri Lokat Nirayach Chapi Yat Param Tisribhyam Paramam Stanam Vaishnavam Vidusham Gati. There are different planetary systems known as Deva Loka, the planets of the demigods, Pitri Loka, the planets of the Pitas, and Niraya, the hellish planets. When one transcends these various planetary systems and enters Vaikuntha Loka, he achieves the ultimate result of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas have nothing to do with the other planetary systems. So here the demigods are approaching the Supreme Lord because they have some problems, right? They have Vritrasura, definitely a problem. They go before him in their confidence as demigods. They throw all their weapons, and he just swallows them. And even that, basically with a yawn. It's not like it was like, you know, that fierceness. It was just so uneventful. Like just with a yawn, he just kind of like swallows them. That really throws you off, right? The guy's powerful, and then he does that. Okay, you have some, but he yawns. That just means what you're doing is completely unimpressive, right? So now they've gone to the Supreme Lord because their position is not good, right? So that's the element that Prabhupada is pointing out here. The inexperienced man generally does not know what to beg from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're looking at just that the Lord will bless them, that all these difficulties will go away. You don't see them coming out with more than this. They'll be talking about him and his position, being transcendental, how he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer, how he's beyond. All these things they understand, they know, because they're devotees. But the difficulty is they're not, we see that the point is not pure devotion. The point is not this material world is such a terrible place. And no matter how much you try to do everything is lost. So therefore, we pray to become your pure devotees to solve this problem of birth and death. No, they mention that he gives all the benedictions and by time it's all taken away, but they don't ask for pure devotion. Right? So this is what Prabhupada's talking about. The general person doesn't know what to ask from the Supreme Lord because those things you can get, but those things for us are special, just getting the mundane to work nicely. But for the Lord, it's not very special at all. Because it's using very minor amount of his potency. Right? But to get devotion, now that's a connection with him personally. That's a relationship with the Lord personally. That's special. So that's what you should ask. Like Prabhupada gives the example. You go to a billionaire, you don't ask him for 10 rupees. Right? You could ask anybody for 10 rupees. So that's the whole idea, is that you know what it is the person is able to respond with or reciprocate with and deal on that platform. Otherwise, what's the specialness of the relationship? Right? So we see here is that the symptoms of this is that they means they're doing their duties. They, as the demigods, they're going out and trying to maintain the balance in the universe. So when the demigods attack, the demons attack, naturally they're going to go out and respond. So that's normal. But we see that there's no conception at that point of remembering the Lord. It's not like, oh, they're attacking, so by the Lord's grace and we'll be able to do all this stuff. Right? No, it's a matter of we'll go out, we have our prowess, we have our abilities, and they're doing it on behalf of the Lord, but that becomes a secondary aspect. You understand? The primary is not devotion. It's that they are devotees, so that's just taken for granted. But their focus is just doing their duties nicely because they appreciate those positions. Right? Somebody becomes a demigod because they actually appreciate those positions. You don't become a demigod because you don't appreciate. You have the ability to control. You like doing that. You like the position. You like the authority. And you're willing to do it properly for the Lord. So that it's glorious, but it's not as much about pure devotion. It's not that it's not there. If one's a devotee, there has to be the concept that pure devotion is what's of interest. But it's just a matter of the time frame. Is it immediate? Is it a necessity? Or it's a ultimate thing that I'll eventually get to? You understand? So that's the whole point, is the chanting process is the goal, but it's also the process. It's also the actual real situation of our who we are. Right? So bhakti is in all three stages of the identity of who we are, the process, and the result. But generally, the tendency is, you see, like the demigods, is to only keep bhakti as an ultimate. And so I am who I am. I'm in this case, that we're demigods, we're powerful, we're controlling the universe, we're seeing that everything's going nicely. I'll bet on behalf of the Lord, but it's still about themselves and now, and their process. They're going to do all these duties nicely. By that, they'll be happy. And of course, because it's for the Lord, he'll be happy, but it's about, and then ultimately that will bring us to bhakti. Right? Do we see? So, Bhagavatam being the Paramahamsa Samhita, then it's about how to appreciate pure devotion as the position I'm in, the process, and the goal. So all these stories, there's stories about devotees. You never hear stories generally about karmis, and just karmis, right? Mahabharata you may. Nala Damayanti, so many stories you hear. But in Bhagavatam, it'll always be about devotees, or devotees and demons. Right? You won't have these other things, unless it's just a side point and you're making a very specific point. And the short story will be short, it won't be long. Mahabharata will make it very long. We like all the details, right? So, it's about how to distinguish pure devotion. Because here we have sixth canto. We have to remove these concepts, because in seventh canto we're going to get to Prahlad Maharaj, where we see that aspect of functioning on pure devotion in all situations, all considerations, is what he's doing. The demigods aren't doing this. Before that, you don't see the devotees doing this. Right? But in the process, in the pastime, the element of pure devotion is coming out. So we're learning what to do, how to apply it in our life. Why are these examples given? Because this is what we do. Right? That's the idea, to bring us to the platform. By the 10th canto, we can appreciate what's going on in 10th canto. It means it's a nice story everybody will like anyway. Whether you understand or not, everybody will like. Right? Because there's nothing more wonderful than Krishna's stories, but to appreciate the devotion, the bhakti, everything that's there, that's then what the first 9 cantos are doing, is removing any doubts, any kind of misconceptions, any kind of mentalities or moods that we may have that are within devotion but aren't necessarily the ideal. Does that make sense? Like mixed devotion is a reality as part of our, a stage in our devotional development, but it's not something that's ideal. Does that make sense? It's not ideal. So the point is it's about that pure state. Just like, let's say your hands get dirty, so you wash them. So now, is washing our hands the ideal state? Or being in a pure state? You understand? So therefore, the engaging of the elements of the material world in the Lord's service is a stage. It's not an ultimate. It's not that engaging everything in the material world in Krishna's service, that that's actually the perfection. The perfection is that it's connected to Krishna. Not that it's the material world. The idea is whatever you have, whatever situation you're in, whatever you're doing, you connect it to the Lord. But that's the perfection, not that I did that with the material world. You understand? It's a subtle point, but it's very important. That's what Bhagavatam is bringing out, these fine points, one after another. That things that we would take for granted and go, well, this is fine, but then it is fine at this stage. Then there's a higher stage. So that we move forward in Krishna consciousness when we are able to distinguish between these stages. Because otherwise, if I think I'm good, then we stay that way. You have to remember that the philosophy of I'm okay, you're okay, is to stay just the way you are. It's not to progress. Right? So it's not a dynamic process. It's a process that if I'm feeling, not confident, and at the same time I am critical of others, right? Which is generally comes up. If I become insecure, I generally try to protect myself. So this is simply to remove that. So I'm okay, you're okay. You know, everything's fine. So that's just a situation. That's not a goal, that's not a process. You understand? So therefore, this whole thing of that where everybody's okay, patting each other on the back and, well, we're all fine, that's good. But it's only good in that then now one can confidently engage in devotional service. But to just leave it at that, that would be like sitting there and washing your hands all day. You know, we make a club, the hand washing club. You know, we go into the club, there's 100 sinks there all around, very nice sinks, you know, all done very well. They all have nice mirrors, little things with soapy things to wash your hands and all that. You know, nice tap, it's all nicely polished and all that. You spend good money to have all that maintained, you know, like that. And so would that be, what would we consider this a good club? No, so therefore the purificatory process to remove the position of mixed devotional service from our heart is important. Just like to be clean, you have to wash your hands, but it's not about washing your hands. It's about being clean. So the mixed devotion, it's not about that the mixed devotion is okay. No, it's the process to get to the pure devotional platform. So we have to be able to see that. Otherwise, we'll sit back and we'll be comfortable. And the problem is, we get too comfortable, then we'll end up like in this pastime here. We'll end up as demigods. Prabhupada points that out, right? If the neophyte devotee, leaving the body, and doesn't have that drive, they go to the heavenly planets. They take birth as demigods. Now, if they have that determination, but it hasn't become perfect, they take birth in the family of devotees. Right? Then, if it's better, you remember Krishna and all that, then you go back to Godhead. So you have these basically three options. Right? So, therefore, we should be careful that we know, as Prabhupada says, the inexperienced person doesn't really know what to ask from Krishna. Right? It may be these situations are there. Okay, fine. Do we want them to go smoothly? Fine. But more important is, why do we want it to go smoothly? Why would we want the problem to go away? Why would we want the situation to become nice? Unless it's to perform pure devotion. So what's the point of having a nice situation if we forget Krishna? Therefore, Krishna creates situations that aren't great, so we have a tendency to remember. Right? That's the whole thing. But we wouldn't say, okay, I'll try to do it in pure devotion so all the situations become nice. You understand? Then we're adding bhakti to karma. No, bhakti has to be, we're just doing it because we want to please the Lord. These other things get taken care of automatically. Just like if you eat, automatically hunger goes away. It's not that you have to work on it, right? You're eating and, wow, you look very serious today. Why are you so serious? Well, I'm trying to make the hunger go away and all that, you know? No, it goes automatically. So that's the whole point. Bhakti is the natural activity of the living entity. Therefore, all the activities that you're performing naturally, they give their result anyway. But it's not about that result. It's about pleasing Krishna, right? Because now if I'm doing an activity for Krishna, right? Now, let's say I'm managing something. Let's say there's a festival to come. Okay, Rath Yatra is coming up. Someone is managing that festival, right? That's why it happens, right? Now, it's not about the management. It's about expressing your devotion to Krishna through using management, which is your ability. So the devotion is the primary, the management is the secondary, right? Because what's going to happen? You're going to manage the festival, and at the end of it, you'll have a nice festival. That's the result, right? But what's the real result you're looking for? Krishna's pleasure, the devotee's pleasure. Because the nice festival, it's about Krishna. So the results are already for Krishna. So the results are already for Krishna. So do we see what's happening here? The process of pure devotion, it's pleasing Krishna, is the real result we're looking for. That's the result we want. Now that we applied ourselves in management and the festival worked out nicely, that's the secondary. It's not the primary. The primary is Krishna's satisfaction. That's why sometimes we can manage something so nicely. I mean, we're so impressed with it, but we're not satisfied, neither is anybody else. And we're wondering, what happened? It was like perfect. Because it's not about the material perfection, it's about the devotion to Krishna. Now, if you have an ability to do things perfectly, then you should offer that perfection to Krishna. But it's not about that perfection. It's about the devotion. So does this make sense? So why we're getting at this is, that means if you're performing your duties in devotional service that and trying to please Krishna as the primary effort, the secondary effort of your, of the secondary aspect of your efforts giving a fruit that you can see and use is automatic. That's what we mean by automatic. If you're trying to please Krishna, then automatically these other things happen. Right? Because I'm trying to do the best for Krishna, that means I'll do the best in my endeavor. So automatically those things happen, but that's not my focus, it's on Krishna. That's the whole thing. So that's why we see sometimes when things go spontaneously, they work out better than if we have things really well organized. Not that well organized is not good, it's the mood is what's important. That's the whole thing. Right? So this is then what Prabhupada's talking about is that we have to know what to look for. It has to be the pure devotion that we're actually praying for. And these other things are simply so we can do the service nicely so that we can offer that to Krishna in devotion. But it always has to take the second place, because otherwise we put it into primary, the secondary aspects, if we make them primary, then we set ourselves up basically for staying in the material world, because the material world is the only place where they take secondary as primary. Spiritual world, primary is primary, secondary is secondary. For Mother Yashoda, it's her devotion to Krishna that's more important than her house, her cooking, her arranging his clothes and ornaments and all these. That's the most important. Right? Because when Krishna's out at the Jamuna River with Kali, a serpent, she leaves all that and goes out there. And what does she have to offer? Is she going, oh, Krishna, just stop dancing for a minute. It's time to eat something. I have this very nice preparation here. Come down here and eat. Then you can go back and play on the snake. No, it's just about Krishna. So all that is left. That's why these pastors, we see these pastors, that whatever they have, they'll leave everything. Mother Yashoda leaves it all. The gopis leave it all. The coward boys, they have nice, they just go out with Krishna. That's the specialty of Braj, is that the form that's used is secondary and it remains secondary. Even in Vaikuntha, the secondary is how you express things. But it's still secondary, but it has more of a prominence than in Braj. So this is what makes this line of devotion that the Bhagavatam is showing, this Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, as special. So we have to catch this, right? Otherwise we just get caught up so much in these secondary aspects and think that if we make these secondary aspects perfect, then devotional service will go on. Until we have this, until we've done this with the management, or until we've done this with the community, then we can't have a dynamic Krishna conscious movement. That's exactly what Prabhupada's talking about here, the inexperienced man, right? Now, we can't get bent out of shape. Oh, you can't say that. Of course I can say that, because I'm not saying it. The verses are saying this. This is the demigods. We would have to say, if we're a manager, we're not as good as Indra. We would definitely have to acknowledge that. We can run a temple, we can run a zone, we can run a country, but can we run planetary systems? Unlimited. You know, you look up at the sky, there's all the stars. Those are all the systems that Indra's managing. It's big. It's big. He's empowered. And they're making the mistake. They're worried about their position, their authority, their facilities. Right? How good they look. Right? They look 16, not 17, not 15. 15 is too young, 17 is too old, 16 is just perfect. Right? It's called sweet 16, not sweet 29. Right? You know, like that. Don't worry, my mother just had her, what is it, 44th, 29th birthday. Like that, so still 29. Like that. That's America. Like, I know Europe it's 39, so excuse me. So, does this make sense? So it's a matter of, they're worried about these things, and we worry about these things. Why? Because we're missing the point. We're getting the general correct, but if you want to refine it down to really get what is there in a quicker way, you have to see this. Don't worry. Not understanding it, but being committed to the devotional service, whatever the situation, you will advance, you will make benefit. But the more one understands, the more one is careful about it's about Krishna, not about me, that much quicker we'll move forward. Right? Then we come to the point, then we're experienced. We know what to ask from Krishna. Okay, so any questions, comments? Yes. Is that a microphone thing? Yeah, in the back there.
I have two questions I'd like to ask. How come often in the Shastra you see secondary inducements offered to one in order to perform devotion, like Vedishu, Yagnishu, Tapashe, Chaiva. A person who accepts the path of devotional service, he gets all the results of studying the Vedas, performing austerities, And I me personally, I read a verse like this, and I go, wow, that's a pretty good deal. If I do devotional service, I get all these other things.
Right, right.
And then there's that verse that if one has unflinching devotional service unto me, then liberation stands before him.
Yes.
And the other goals of human life stand before him.
Yes.
So when I read that verse, I think, wow, great deal. If I can get unflinching devotion, then I get all these other things too as well.
Yes. Yes.
So there's always this thread throughout the Shastra.
Yes.
That if we perform devotional service, then all these second elements will be added unto us.
Yes, yes.
So I want to know why that is there, if the only thing that is important is the bhakti.
Right. So that, as you mentioned, that threads throughout. At the same time, as there is the other side of that thread, is that if you're performing devotional service, you don't actually have to make any endeavor in any of these other areas, because it's already included. Bhakti covers that, so that's the glory of bhakti. So therefore, one relaxes and gives up the interest in those things, because, you understand? So it's so perfect that it's so perfect that it will inspire you from any position and will bring you to the best position. So that's what's nice about the Vedic, is that you don't have a different process. Just like the process we're being expected to follow, that's the recommended process of engage with knowledge, engaging your duties with detachment in the service of the Lord. Then we're seeing it from that mechanical point of view, but that's what they do in the spiritual world. Mother Yashoda does her duties as the wife of Nanda Baba and the mother of Krishna to take care of Krishna, her son. But she does it to please Krishna. She's not doing it for herself. So there you have that pure unalloyed devotion, right? In Vaikuntha, they'll do it with that pure devotion. But it's also from the aspect that they appreciate that position of pure devotion, right? That gives them a taste. Just like, let's say I become freed from some material desire. I feel good about that, and I like the taste of that. Or I chanted my rounds. I sat down, you know, I was determined, I'm going to chant all my rounds in one shot there. I'm not getting up, I'm no prajalpa, I'm turning off my phone, doing the whole thing. And I feel good, right? But there's the element, I feel good about it, rather than, if I feel good, that means Krishna must feel good. So that's the actual thing. So my feel is only a symptom of Krishna's. You understand? But I don't quite take it there. But at some point, you know, you're doing like that, then Krishna's pleased. That's why you're happy. So therefore you continue, because it pleases Krishna. Or you go down to the next level, as you do this, because by doing this, if I do my activity without attachment, you know, I'm doing pious work, so I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, so there's no going to be any sinful reactions, and I'm doing it with naishkarmya, without an attachment to the results, I will get freed from the material endeavor, because I'm doing the activity without a desire for results, so there is going to be no karma. So that means material existence is finished. Right? And I want material existence to be finished. Right? So that also we can get from these verses. Right? And then you get, if I perform my duties nicely, my situation will be improved. I will get all the benefits. Right? All those benefits come. But I understand it's because of the connection to devotional service. So in all of these, I see the connection to devotional service, but as it goes, it naturally becomes better and better. And so the one thing, or we can step down to lower. If you do this, then you don't get all these reactions, you're free from karma, you don't suffer, you don't, all these kind of things. Right? Because it also mentioned three destinations, so condemnation and hell. We want to take care of that one also, right? We don't go to hell, things work out good here, and we get, you know, the good facilities in the future. You know, so we want to deal with all three realms. That's what they're mentioning it. But so you can see is that same verses, all those threads are going through. But the main thread, the primary thread, is bhakti. And so as long as we connect to bhakti on any of those threads, we progress. And then naturally one unfolds into the next. So like if you perform devotional service in the Agyata Sukriti, you don't know what it is, but it brings you to Shraddha, to Bhakti. Then performing Bhakti, you take up association. From association, then you want to follow the process. Then by following the process, you become freed from anartas. Then from that, you get stable, then taste, then attachment. Bhava, get to pray. It moves through. So the main point is that we're committed to that Bhakti element. So that's why any position someone's in, any position mentioned in the Bhagavatam is glorious. But it's trying to show you, if you stick to that and understand it, you can get to the glorious position of the Brajavasis. Right? So all these things do is point out, don't get distracted that the position I'm in, this is good enough. Otherwise, we'll get stuck for a while. You know, we'll go along and just things are going ho-hum, and then something happens, we get serious again, we think, wow, and it's like a fresh air, and think, wow, this hasn't happened for years. You know, and then you think, wow, okay, because we came to a plateau and we're just okay. It's not, we're getting caught up in the secondary, they're working out for us, or they're not working out for us, or something, we're dealing with that. And so it works, but then we get back and we start up again. But the point is whatever is gained in devotional service will never be lost, so that one doesn't have to worry about. But it's just a matter of making it work quicker. Does that make sense? So it's all good. So if one sees that, that's good, because some people read that verse and they don't get inspired at all. So that means there's devotion. Otherwise, why would we get inspired? Okay, is that good?
Okay. Well, one other question, and you didn't touch on this in this class, but it's just a curiosity I have. You know, in this particular pastime, when the Lord appears before the demigods, he comes with 16 other personalities.
Nice point.
And they're all standing there, and they all kind of look the same, except right. They're not quite the same, you know.
But they're not ticky-tacky, right?
Right. Yeah, they're not ticky-tacky.
Okay.
And then in some other, for example, when the Lord appears before the demigods in the Daksha Yagna, he comes out with 16 arms, you know, carrying all kinds of weapons, you know. Daddy's here, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when he appears before Dhruva, he appears alone, just Prishnigarbha, all by himself.
Right.
Then when he appears before Gajendra, he's on a Garuda.
Right.
And he's coming out of the sky.
Right.
So I just want to know, why is there meaning behind these? Why does he show up in this pastime with 16 other guys with him? I mean, why not?
This one? Why this one?
And this one, why like that? Is there meaning behind these different appearances that he appears slightly different and different?
Unique pastimes? Each time.
Yeah, unique in each time, yeah.
Okay, yes, okay. Yeah, nice question. It's interesting because when I was reading through it, I thought, okay, this is a good point. But then, unfortunately, we forgot it, but then you brought it up again. So that's good. Very good. Thank you. One is now, just taking this one as specific. Now, the demigods, they're coming to the Lord because they failed in their efforts. Because they were confident of their efforts. Right? So, but it didn't work out. So now they're thinking that I am in control of my powers. I am the controller of air. I'm controller of fire. I'm controller of this or that. But actually, where does all that come from? It comes from the Lord. Right? Prabhupada's pointing out in the discussions of Kapila Muni that for the devotee, because seeing Krishna everywhere means you see something. In other words, I can see matter and spirit in everything. Right? That's what I'm looking for. Everything's a combination of matter and spirit, because otherwise, how is it functioning? Dead matter doesn't do anything. Neither does it get together. Dead matter is pradhan. So if you're not looking at pradhan, and if you're looking at pradhan, there's a good chance you're transcendental. Right? So you don't have to worry about this conversation. But if you're not transcendental, you can't be looking at pradhan, because you need the eyes and everything to be able to do that are made out of mahatattva. Right? So pradhan is just matter. But it's Krishna's matter, right?
So if you any transformation after pradhan means it's matter and spirit. Means the supreme Brahman, and why is it there? Because the jivas are there as the superior Brahman to matter, but not the, on the level of Krishna. Right? So everything is that. So that anything exists is because the Lord is there. So when we see anything, we see the qualities of that item. Because it's the qualities that specifically show Krishna. Then through his energies, he manifests in a form that shows you that quality. So in the material world, we'll see those qualities manifest as material things. Like strength. The column has strength. So you see a column. But actually, the column has meaning because it's strength. Right? That's the whole point. If the column's not strong, why would we put it there? We put something else there. Right? But we put the column there because the column holds strength. So that's the matter and spirit. So then the devotee, immediately from seeing that, remembers the person. Remembers Bhagavan. So that's how he always remembering the personality of Godhead. That's why Kapila Muni mentions that those who only get to seeing the Lord in his potencies and only get to that point don't remember the personality of Godhead. He says, technically that's unfavorable for pure devotion. Because you're appreciating the Lord in his position, but you're not taking up a position of devotion because of it. So many times these great saints and sages, they know who God is. They know his position, how he creates, maintains, destroys, how he's pervading everything, how everything functions on it. They can tell you technically what's going on, but they're not interested in surrendering to him in devotion. Right? So it's, they're just short. But if they get good association, then they'll move forward. Right? Then they'll move into Shantarasa rather than just being Atmarama. Right? So here, the demigods are missing this point. So even though they're the devotees, they're thinking it's their power, their prowess. So now, when the Lord comes, he comes with the 16 energies. So when you say the 16 energies, that is the energies. Because they're in the 16 directions around him. So you have the four main, you know, which takes care of Indra and Varuna and, Yama and Kuvera. Then you have that. Then you have Agni. Who's it? Agni, Vayu, Niriti, and who's on this side? It's been a while. Then you have what's in between, right? And so they're the ones, the main, and then their next expansion is the next expansion, so 16 is the main. And so with all those energies, he's being served by them. So that means all the potencies that every one of those demigods have, the original potency is serving the Lord. And they're thinking it's their energy, right? So this is just to remind them actually how everything's working, because that was their mistake. If they had seen, I'm doing this, it's not there, they surrendered to the Lord then it may be that more of this power, more of the ability would have been there, they could defeat the demon. But it can't, because especially this demon, other demons, it's another story. Generally they go out, they're successful, but this demon is a pure devotee. So unless you function on the platform of pure devotion, how will you be successful? Right? So that's the whole thing, is that they're not going to be successful. Like Indra, we'll see in the process that Indra will have gotten the thunderbolt, and he'll come on the battlefield of Vritasura, but he won't use the thunderbolt. He'll use his club, because that's what he's always used. So he's more confident of that, because this other thing means that the Lord gave him this. This is made out of Dadichi's bones, who he insulted. Right? And that it's a thunderbolt. What's his thunderbolt? He doesn't know. So he just goes in as just status quo. And then Vritrasura grabs it, you know, whacks him around a bit. And then starts to lecture him that you are faithless. You're a devotee. You're a servant of the Lord, but you're faithless. God gave you this thunderbolt to kill me with. You're not using it. Where's your faith? Pick up the thunderbolt. Use the thunderbolt. If you're a devotee, use the thunderbolt. Why are you using this club? Right? And he is holding it with his left hand, you know, just to insult Indra, right? Somehow Indra always gets it. People do everything with the left hand just to annoy him, right? So, yes. Does this make sense? So it's about devotion. So the point is their devotion needs to be improved. They have the devotion, but in their duties they tend to forget because they so many duties to do, so much facility power. You know, in other words, they can't see the forest for the trees. So now and again they have to get a step back and see the actual forest for what it, then they, okay, like that. Daksha Yagi comes because now the demigods, they perform this, they were performing this yagi. They also get distracted by the secondary. Daksha is totally into secondary. He misses devotional part totally. Him, Bhrigu, Pusha, Bhaga, like that, totally. And then, so Shiva comes in because of insulting and destroys it. So now they want protection. So he comes in with all his weapons. Right? So then you can say, okay, you know? And he's the most respectable, so there's the Chamaras, there's all the things, so, you know, okay. Dhruma is personal, you know, he's just there, a kid, you know, you don't come with this huge thing, he might get, you come just yourself personally, you know, like that. You know, so there's there, you're coming, getting rid of Gajendra, that show of a little bit more, but it's still personal because of the prayers, but at the same time, it's got that little bit extra, you know, to take care of. Because he has been wrestling with the crocodile for 1,000 years. Right, you know, so he went a little bit more. It wasn't that, you know, just something happened and then, you know, in the moment he came, then it could be something smaller, but, you know. So it's always in reciprocation with the mood of the devotee. What will satisfy the devotee and what matches perfectly the pastime. So then the Lord will come like that. Is that okay? Yeah.
So much. Okay. That's
okay.
Nice.
Okay, very good. Thank you. No, it's time's up. So we'll end here. No, it was good. You were the only one to ask questions anyway. Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki. Jainata Gaura Premanandi.